How many of you grew up on hymns? Most of you. Yeah, that's why even though we didn't have lyrics right away for Great is Thy Faithfulness, I could still hear you singing. Yeah, okay, so maybe you could help me out with this one. I'm not going to sing it, but I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Does he walk with you and talk with you? Do you hear his voice of cheer? Sort of, yeah. So I'm going to share with you a number of convictions. We will eventually get to scriptures, but I'm not starting with scriptures. Here's where I'm going. We, over the next number of weeks, are going to be talking about the voice of God. And we are not going to be talking about the voice of God that we hear through scripture. I take that as axiomatic. It would be redundant for me to preach a message about hearing the voice of God in scriptures. We do that every single week. And you are well aware that I, of course, believe that God speaks to us through scripture. But in the scriptures, we see God speaking to his people in other ways. And yet we don't always expect those in our own lives. And so we are going to be focusing on the voice of God. So here are a number of convictions. First of all, conviction number one is that we are hungry to hear from God. I know that. That's why we come here. That is one of the main reasons why we come here on Sunday morning, because we hope that we will hear something from God. Conviction number two, we are nourished by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, right? That's just scripture. Jesus says that and he's quoting scripture. Moses says it first. We are nourished by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Every word. I'm going to have to talk more about that in a minute. Conviction number four, if we want to be nourished well, it includes following the examples in scripture of listening to the voice of God. Number five, you do hear his voice. You do. Scripture is absolutely explicit about it. But we need to learn the ways that he speaks, and we need to learn how to listen. We can always improve in this. Conviction number six, as we do this, we will hear God's voice. We already do hear God's voice. We will hear it more, and we will hear other voices as well. And sometimes we will mistakenly think that those are God's voice, and we will get things wrong, and we will attribute this as God's voice, when actually it wasn't. We're going to get things wrong. It's inevitable. Conviction number seven, God is willing to take that risk, and therefore so am I. So we're going to learn. So I'm going to unpack this more as we go. In my Monday night prayer group about a year ago, there's an older gentleman there named Fred, and Fred loves the Bible. Loves the Bible. Fred's probably in his 60s or so, and it's get into the Word, friends. Get into the Word, brothers. Get into the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. He will challenge people at times. He'll be like, we can read the entire New Testament this week. How long does that take, Fred? It's just 4 hours, guys. It's just 4 hours a day, all week long, and you will have read the entire New Testament. Get into the Word, get into the Word, get into the Word. He, like every time you talk to him about something, it's, well, what does the Word say? What does the Word say? He just loves the Word. It's great at times. It's really good. No, I do dearly love Fred. But Fred is an accountant by day and a preacher by night, by weekend. So he's got his own business, but then he preaches at a church in Pinoca every week. So Fred, one time last year, was chatting with us as a group before our prayer about preparation for a message. And he's like, oh, Ben, you know what this is like, right? You just pray, listen, and then you speak on Sunday. And I'm like, No, Fred, that's not what I've done. And I had to sheepishly admit to Fred that what the discipline he is talking about requires a much greater attunement to God's voice than I currently have. And I sheepishly had to admit that I actually haven't cultivated that very well, Fred. And I had to start learning. And then, you know, we get into this soul care study a number of months back. And Rob Reamer, who leads the Soul Care Studies, an Alliance pastor, now an Alliance professor. And over and over again in the study, he would say, God told me, I heard. This is what God said. And then it would just get confirmed through the story. It was just both amazing and infuriating because I'm like, I'm not hearing like that. And it was just developing more and more. I'm having this conviction from Fred and this growing hunger that I want to hear from God. And then I was really, really focusing on John about a year ago as well, where Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And I just say to God over and over again, that's a two-way conversational relationship. That's what friendship is. Why am I not hearing things? What the heck? So I had and have this growing hunger to hear from God. Why am I not hearing? Why am I not recognizing? What's going on? So I know that you come hungry. And I know that it's frustrating when you don't recognize what God is speaking. You don't supposedly hear it, right? And you think that's just for the elites or the pastors or the prophets or something like that, right? And it's not. And we're going to get into those scriptures. Conviction number two, God's voice brings life. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Of course, that includes scripture. Duh. But every word, if God is continuing to speak to us, then one does not live by bread alone, but by every word would have to include the words he's currently speaking. In other words, we are nourished not simply by scripture alone, we are nourished by the words God continues to speak to us presently. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Are we listening for those words? Conviction number three, we are malnourished to the degree that we aren't feeding on every word. Scripture never ever claims that God would stop speaking to us in those personal ways once scripture was written. It doesn't. Show me the verse. It doesn't. But sadly, we oftentimes have really neglected to pay attention. I just admitted that to you, neglected to pay attention to the present voice of God because I've got scripture, so I'm good. It's like eating one type of food regularly, but not complementing it with the other types of food, right? Have you heard people like health nuts? They talk about how you should eat all the different colors of vegetables because the different colors there represent the fact that there are different types of nourishment, different vitamins and so on that you only get with one color that you don't get with another. And so you need the full spectrum of colors in your diet in order for you to be optimally healthy, right? In order for us to be optimally healthy, we need not only scripture, but the listening to the current voice of God. That's not to denigrate scripture at all. It's actually to follow scripture's example, as we will get into in a minute. So Elijah, Paul, Daniel, Jacob, Joseph, Samuel, these people hear from God. We see it in scripture, right? But sadly, we haven't learned that God will speak to us in the same ways. We somehow think that they are elite. And they're not. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But we are malnourished to the degree that we are missing out on what God is currently speaking to us. If we only expect him to speak from the Bible, that's not what the Bible says. So if we're going to be faithful to the Bible, we have to follow what the Bible's doing, what the Bible is showing us. If we want to be nourished well, it includes following the examples of those who are hearing God's voice in scripture. So Elijah and Paul and Rebecca, who hears from God, and the prophetess Huldah, right? It's not just the men, okay? Right? Jacob, Joseph, Samuel. They aren't special. This is absolutely crucial to us. In fact, Scripture says they aren't special. James 5 says, Elijah was a man just like us. Was Elijah therefore special? No. And the point that James is going to make about Elijah is that you should expect the same answers to prayer that Elijah got, because Elijah wasn't special. Elijah was a man just like us. Jacob was a man just like us. Rebecca was a woman just like us. Like, they hear from God. They're not special. They're not elite. They're not a different category. That's why they are here in Scripture, so that Scripture can show us how God currently speaks to his people. Elijah was a man just like us. You can learn to hear from God just like Elijah heard from God. What does Scripture say? I can't remember where it is that it says this, but it says that God is no respecter of persons. If you want to Google that, you can call it out. But God is no respecter of persons, which means God doesn't play favorites. Sorry? We're going to go with Galatians for now. If you find it, Google it, call, shout it out. But anyway, thank you. God doesn't play favorites. Elijah was a man just like us. God is no respecter of persons. In other words, are you breathing? You qualify. You qualify. Do you have ears? You qualify to hear God's voice. We are not somehow below them. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God does not change, would he not then operate in the same ways yesterday, today, and forever? I'm not the only one who thinks this. And this is a very Baptist belief. Let me put a Baptist up on the screen here for us. Lionel, would you put that quote up for me, please? This is Charles Spurgeon. You want to talk about iconic Baptist. There aren't many iconic Baptists, but Charles Spurgeon would probably qualify. And this is from his sermon. This is what he says. This could be difficult English for some of you. I'm going to paraphrase it afterwards, okay? He says, when people hear about what God used to do, one of the things they say is, oh, that was a very long while ago. And they imagine that times have altered since then. And he responds, has God changed? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does that not support an argument to prove that what God has done at one time, he can do at another? Nay, I think I may push it a little further and say that what he has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. I will explain what that means in a minute. So the next slide. Thanks, Lionel. Others among you say, oh, well, I look upon these things as great prodigies, these miracles. We're not to expect them every day. In other words, they're outside of the normal way of doing things, the normal way God normally works. And so Spurgeon responds to that argument. That is the very reason why we do not get them. If we had learnt to expect them, we should no doubt obtain them. But we put them up on the shelf as being out of the common order and mere curiosities of Scripture history. We imagine such things, however true, to be prodigies of providence. We cannot imagine them to be according to the ordinary working of his mighty power. I beseech you, my friends, renounce that idea. Put it out of your mind. Whatever God has done in the way of converting sinners is to be looked upon as a precedent. Those are his words. Let me give you a paraphrase of what he's saying. When we hear about what God did in Scripture, one of the things we tell ourselves was, oh, that's different than the modern times or my life. He doesn't speak or act that way now. Really? Has God changed? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does that not mean that he can work in the same ways today? In fact, it's more than that he just that he could still act that way. God's words and actions in Scripture are a prophecy. They're his endorsement of the ways he will continue working with all his people at all times. They show us his intentions. Well, some will say, well, those things were exceptions to the normal way that life works, and we shouldn't expect to hear or see God work in those ways. But that expectation not to see him act or not to hear him speak is the very reason why you don't. If we had learned to expect such things, we would have them. If we don't put them in a museum and say those things were true at the time, but it's different now because God doesn't normally work that way, I beg you, my friends, renounce and reject that whole way of thinking. Whatever God has said or done needs to be seen as a precedent, as a model, as an example, as a pattern for how he will continue to act among God's people. We should expect him to work in the same ways in Scripture because he does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That what we see in Scripture is his intention for what he is going to continue to do among us. In other words, what Spurgeon is saying is that Scripture is not an account of simply how God once acted, how God once spoke. It's an account of how he continues to speak, how he wants to address his people, how he wants to act presently among his people, what he wants to do through his people. It's not something for the past. It's something for the present. And the amazing point that Spurgeon makes here is that the reason we don't get those things and the reason we don't hear those things is because we don't expect those things. And that's on me. It's like me plugging my ears, going, I don't want to hear. I'm not expecting to hear from God, therefore I don't. What Spurgeon says is put it out of your mind. What we need to do is go back to our Bibles with fresh eyes. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Get in the Word, Ben. Get in the Word, Ben. Get in the Word, Ben, as Fred say. Right? Get in the Word and hear what the Word is saying about how God currently speaks to his people. Jacob got a ladder. Maybe you will. Daniel got a vision. Maybe you will. Paul heard a voice. Maybe you will. Why not? Has God changed? Let us go back to our Bibles and may they equip us to hear God's voice. Conviction number 5. You do hear God's voice, but we need to learn how he speaks and learn to listen. Would you go to John chapter 10, please? Let's start with verses 1 to 5. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice." The sheep, it says in other translations, "My sheep hear my voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Of course, it says afterwards they didn't understand what he was saying. But that's okay. That's to be expected. Verse 16. Jesus is still speaking. He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will hear my voice, and they shall be one flock with one shepherd." Now verse 27 and 28. "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Are you one of the sheep? Yes, no, maybe so. Nods? Are you one of the sheep? If you are nodding, you hear present tense. All of this is present tense. I double-checked the Greek. It's present tense. Every single one of those verbs, my sheep hear my voice in the present. My sheep hear my voice. You hear his voice. You are hearing his voice right now. Our trouble is not that we do not hear God's voice. Our trouble is that we do not recognize the ways that he is speaking. And that's frustrating, but that means that there's room to grow. My sheep hear my voice. We can't ever say again, God, I'm not hearing you. It contradicts scripture. It contradicts what he said. If we are not hearing, it's not actually that we're not hearing. It's that we're not recognizing. And that's going to take time to learn. Right? There, I was reading one author this week. I think it was Brad Jerzak. I can't remember. But he was saying that there are times where just, you know, between the two, the three of us or a bunch of us in a room, there will be times where someone will be speaking to you and you won't actually recognize that they're speaking to you because you're in your own world. Right? We have that happen all of the time. It happens to me frequently when I'm in the kitchen and someone's in the other room and they're trying to talk to me. Right? So if we have this experience on the sort of human-to-human plane where someone can be talking to us and we don't actually recognize it, that does happen to us at the spiritual level as well. So we need to learn to tune our ears. And that's what we're going to be doing through this series. My sheep hear my voice. And I just want to be clear. This isn't talking about scripture. My sheep hear my voice. Right? He's talking about a personal interaction with the shepherd. It's not talking about scripture. Yes, God speaks to us through scripture. Don't ever tell me you think I'm denigrating the Bible. I'm trying to be faithful to what the Bible is saying here. And this passage, John 10, is not talking about hearing God's voice only in scripture. It's talking about an interactive relationship between a sheep and a shepherd, right? It's talking about an ongoing interactive relationship between a sheep and a shepherd. My sheep follow me and they hear my voice. It's not even just your entrance into that pen, entrance into eternal life, and entrance into that relationship with Jesus. It's about the ongoingness of that relationship. My sheep hear my voice. Are you getting hungrier for hearing that voice in an ongoing way? I am. Conviction number six, people are also going to hear things that aren't God, and they're going to mistakenly attribute them to God, and we're going to get it wrong. We're all going to get it wrong. Whether it's the really overt and crazy ones where someone comes up to you and says, God told me that we're going to get married, or whether it's something like where you have a time where you think like a word's come to mind and you think this is from God, and you follow it up and it doesn't pan out, and you go, whoops, I missed. That's okay. We are learning. We're going to be in the process of learning. So we should expect to hear God's voice, and we should expect that there are going to be times where we're going to think it's God's voice and it's not. And sometimes it's going to be us, and sometimes it's going to be the enemy. And that's just part of the way that God has set things up. Sometimes these things are hard to distinguish. But we're going to learn. Actually, it's usually relatively easy to deal with, you know, like if someone comes up to you and says, well, you know, God told me that we're going to get married, it's like, well, he hasn't told me yet. So like, it's relatively easy to deal with. We will talk more as we get going down the line here about, you know, how to discern, how to process. You don't do it by yourself. You do it with scripture, you do it with other people. There's a variety of things that we can talk about related to that as far as discernment goes, but you know, we're gonna go into this knowing we're gonna get some things wrong. And that's okay. You know, and you learn to play an instrument, you ever play a wrong note? My kid's learning to walk. Still, it's taking forever. She's 16 months old now. She's still learning how to walk. But anyway, you know, we didn't tell her she couldn't walk until she get it, the whole thing right, right? So conviction number 7, you know, God was willing to take that risk. God was willing that he set up this thing in such a way, he knew that we're going to get some of these things wrong. He knew that some people are going to abuse it and say, well, God told me to tell you. And so we can process that, but let's not go into this with a lot of fear as though, oh no, everything's just going to go sideways because some people are going to come up and label something as God's voice. And it wasn't. We can handle this stuff, guys. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, right? He's given us each other. There's a lot of wisdom in this room here, a lot of discernment. He's given us the scriptures. We can handle this. Okay, we can learn together to discern God's voice. Lionel, would you put up the next quote for me, please? This is another Baptist. The other probably iconic Baptist is Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard was, he was ordained as a Southern Baptist minister. And then decided to go into philosophy. And the reason that he went into philosophy, ended up teaching his entire career at University of Southern California in the philosophy department, was that he heard from God that if he went into the ministry, the university would be closed to him. But if he went into the university, the churches would be open to him. And we know of Dallas Willard as this iconic Baptist contemplative spiritual writer. And he was like C.S. Lewis and had an entire prolific career in the academy. But the reason that he was able to make that switch and made that switch was because he heard from God. This is a Baptist. You can hear from God too. Good Baptists. Here's what he says. Being close to God means communicating with him, which is almost always a two-way street. In our ongoing friendship with God, we tell him what is on our hearts in prayer and learn to perceive what he is saying to us. It is the second part of our conversation with God that is found by many to be so difficult or even unapproachable. How can you be sure God is speaking to you? The short answer is that we learn by experience. Now, he's not saying we don't learn by scripture, we don't learn with other people. No. He's going to get into that in his book. This is just the introduction. He's saying, it's like, this is going to take time, but it's worth the effort. And we should expect to have a two-way conversational relationship with God. You can go to that next one, Lionel. That's cool. Thanks. Now is the time to start, friends. Here are some resources. The first one is the Bible, as I have already said. Go back and read every account of every person who hears something from God in Scripture and make a note of how they heard it. It's not just voices, though it is sometimes. Sometimes it's impressions. Can you believe that? God might speak through an impression. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. That's Acts. That's how they made a major decision in the church, based on an impression. That's actually a turning point in the church. It's that big of a deal. Made it on an impression. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. God speaks in a whole lot of different ways. But go back to your scriptures. And go back with that Spurgeon quote in mind. Email me and I'll send you the quote and I'll send you the paraphrase if you want. This is for you. Every time God meets someone in Scripture, in all of the different ways that he does it are for you. It's not for the elite. I'm not saying you're not elite, but you know, it's for everyone, okay? Resources, Bible, go back with fresh eyes. It's a precedent as our Baptist Spurgeon said, books. I put books next. So I got two books here. The one I quoted from, Dallas Willard, is Hearing God, Developing a Conversational Relationship with God. You can come look at it afterwards if you want. The second one that I found really helpful is Jack Deere, Surprised by the Power, Why I'm Still Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. So it's an updated version of a book he published like 25 years ago, which was called Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. And he completely rewrote the thing and said he's still surprised by it. And so that's the title. It's updated, so you can take a look at that. I've got them here. I found them really, really helpful. I could probably give you 10 books, though. I've read so much on God's voice in the last year. But these are probably the most useful for where you guys are at, where we're at as a church. The best sermon I have heard on God's voice is by Bill Johnson, Bethel Church. You see the date there. It's called Designed to Hear. Just Google it. It's like 40 minutes. That's the best one I have heard. It was my last one. Other people. Every Thursday night, we don't call it a prayer meeting. We meet on Zoom. We started this group to be praying for our church. So we weren't particularly interested in the prayer requests about your second cousin's dermatitis. We actually got together as a prayer group to say we are praying for our church. And we called it the Inquiring of the Lord, and that again comes out of Scripture, where it, at one point in Scripture, Samuel, 1 Samuel, it says that Saul failed to inquire of the Lord, and things just went sideways for Saul. And we said we didn't want to do that. We want to know what God wants to say to us at the moment for our church. And so we get together and we're praying for our church and we're asking all these questions. And we came to the conviction that, well, we're inquiring and we're not ever listening for an answer. And so what we did was we actually shifted. And so most of our time is now spent in silence. Every once in a while, someone will offer a prayer and then we will spend long portions of time in silence, 5, 6, sometimes 10 minutes, where it's just silence. And then the next person prays and we go on from there. And then at the end of this meeting, what we do is we say, did anyone hear anything? And sometimes it's crickets. But more often than not now, someone heard something. And we just process that together as we're praying for our church. So join us. The last resource is children. I started teaching my kids how to listen. They're way better than I am. Way better than I am. Because children come with expectation, with simple faith, and they aren't plagued by all of these doubts and fears and skepticism like I am. Like, well, is that really you, God? I don't know. And so it's amazing. Within a very short period of time, my kids were just starting to hear. And so every time that we pray, we read our Action Bible in the morning. My boys are 8 and 11 years old. So we read our Action Bible in the morning. It's a simple story. And then we pray. But then after we pray, we take a minute to listen. You know what they said one day? We weren't even reading this story. And one day, after taking time to listen, because I taught them, you know, some of the ways that God will speak to us will include like pictures in your mind. And so one of them said, I saw David and Goliath. We hadn't been reading that story. We weren't anywhere close to that story. And the other one's like, I saw David and Goliath too. I'm like, well, okay, that's cool. Ask God why. So one of them pauses and then says, I heard God say, I do big things through little people. So get around some kids and pray with them. And teach them to listen, and they will teach you how to hear from God. We're going to take a practice run at this now, and you should expect that as you come back, we're going to take practice runs at these things as we go through with this series. I'm going to read that John 10 passage again, and then I just want you to listen. And listening means you might expect a word, you might expect a picture, you might expect an impression. All of whatever it is that you get is an invitation into a conversation. Let's do that. And actually, I'm not going to read the whole passage. I'm just actually going to repeat the verse, and you know it. My sheep hear my voice. Close your eyes. My sheep hear my voice. Listen for what God says to you. Mark Verkler tells this story of learning to listen for God's voice. And he's like, at first, most of what I heard was, love your wife. And my response was, because he's expecting something super profound, right? If it's God's voice, it's gonna be deep and it's gotta be profound. And most of what he was hearing was, love your wife. And I'm like, he responds, I will, as soon as I fix her. and he keeps hearing, love your wife. Love your wife. And so he decides he's going to start loving his wife. And his follow-up to that is, you know, my wife said that when I started listening to God's voice, my marriage improved. Can you imagine that? If you actually start listening, God might start doing some stuff. So it might have been really simple. And that's okay. What's wrong with that? You might have just heard, you're one of my sheep. That's not a just, and I shouldn't have said it that way. Right? But learn to expect the unexpected. I want to do a different one now. What I want to do now is I'm gonna tell you about two people who need prayer. And then what I want you to do is listen for how God might want you to pray for them. Okay? The first one is Mima Bunny. And so most, if not all of you, are probably aware that Mima went into the hospital, broke her femur, got a very bad condition that was like life-threatening as a result of that. She has since come off the breathing tubes. She has since been taken off of IV. So let me just read what Christina sent me, because I asked her to send me an update during the message. She says, we're still waiting for the rounds to get a better idea from the doctors, but yesterday she was extubated, meaning that they took the breathing tube out, and she's doing well. She's free of all tubes, oxygen, and IVs. Her body is weak. She is emotional as she tries to process and remember things, so continue to pray for peace. Next steps are going to be rehab, physio to regain strength, stand, walk, etc. Do the necessary breathing exercises to combat potential pneumonia. She'll be moved to a different unit at some point today. Our God is an awesome God. It's huge. Huge. They told them that there was a 30 to 70% chance she would not live. Okay? So what I want you to do is take a moment now and listen and ask God how to pray for Mima. The next one I would like you to pray for is Heidi Klassen. And some of you know her, some of you don't. This is Rita Haynes' sister. And she has been battling cancer for a number of years, but this morning she was actually admitted to the hospital with nausea, pain, vomiting, etc. So she's in need of prayer. And so I got this on the prayer chain, or it's going out to the prayer chain. I got the request just before the service here this morning. I thought, well, we're already doing this. We can add one more. So listen and ask God how he would like you to pray for Heidi this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who speaks. We see it from Genesis 1 on. We see it in Jesus. So Lord, we come to prayer now with the expectation of hearing and meeting you in two-way conversation. And as we open our Bibles afresh this week, may we reject the lie from the enemy that this is not for me, that I'm not special enough to hear from God in this way. You're not one of God's favorites. Lord, I reject that lie now. And I say I'm open to hearing from you because I want to meet you, because I am hungry for you. So Lord, come. Confront the lies and tune our ears into you. Give us eyes to see you. Give us ears to hear you. Give us hearts that respond in ways that you want. I thank you that you are the Word. You are the God who speaks. You reveal yourself. We want to know everything we can about you, not intellectually, experientially. Lord, deepen this relationship. Make us a church that won't make a decision until we've heard from you. Teach us to come like children with faith, childlike faith, and expectation that when we ask for bread, you're not going to give us a stone. You are that good Father. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are our good shepherd and that you speak and lead your sheep. Lead us to green pastures, quiet waters, rest and renewal in relationship with you. I don't want quiet waters, rest, or renewal if the shepherd isn't there. So, Lord, may we follow you and may we hear your voice as you lead us. May we recognize it. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings, friends. Go in peace. Those online, thanks for being with us.